The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So this morning, I would like, prefer rather than giving a talk, to see if there's any questions or topics that you would like to raise here this morning. And I'll try to answer, address, respond, discuss. Yes, please. If you wait for the mic, please, so everyone can hear.
Do you have any suggestions for mindfulness in the context of a difficult marital relationship? I'm seeing it as a huge opportunity, but it's very challenging.
Well, maybe you need to divide up the marital circumstance into smaller pieces. And it's because, so what are the different areas of your life, your private life, your family life, your marital life, that could use different kinds of attention? So can you think of some different areas? Like, I mean, for example, one is you personally. How are you with your emotions, your feelings? How are you caring for yourself in it? Do you have friends that you talk to? Do you meditate in a way that helps you settle? Do you have some way of tracking and understanding yourself well, going underneath the surface of your usual thoughts to kind of what your intentions, what your drives, your values are? So some part of it is, you know, do you have the personal side taken care of as best you can? And then this other side is, do you understand the other person well enough, your partner? And, you know, perhaps that's another whole side, you know, how well you understand that person. And have you taken time to really understand, really, you know, try to dig deeper into this person and what's, you know, what are the beliefs and values and feelings and emotions and needs that the other person has that's part of the picture? Because sometimes people in the middle of a marital or interpersonal conflicts, the conflict itself is what they're bouncing off against, and they can't see beyond it towards anything else. And so sometimes it's good to step and realize there's more going on here, and to step back and, you know, understand yourself more, but then also try to understand the other person more. And sometimes the more dramatic the conflict is, the more useful it is to understand the other person, because that's what people don't do. And then there's the area of communication between the two of you, independent of the conflict that's maybe current. What's the nature of the communication between the two of you, and what's the nature of the relationship you've had? To understand something about the relationship, the history of it, and why you've come together, and what you find valuable and what you find difficult in the relationship, and really, independent of the conflict, to understand what's the nature of that relationship. And there are people who find themselves in conflict, but then they step back and they realize, well, it makes sense to have this conflict. I chose. You know, I made a decision here long ago, maybe. I made a choice, and now the choice is playing it out. I have to kind of take some responsibility for this choice that I made, and then it's come to this conflict, but I can't just kind of, you know. So to understand the relationship itself and step, you know, independent of the conflict. And how do you communicate? Do you have open communication? Are you willing to communicate? And then how are you going to communicate about the particular conflict or conflicts that exist now? Do you have any ground rules for how to communicate and talk? And so, if there aren't any, perhaps it's time to set some ground rules. You know, when are you going to talk? In terms of mindfulness practice, I think of honesty as mindfulness out loud. So is there some way that you can practice mindfulness out loud and that's not offensive, that's not attacking anyone, but just saying, this is what I'm feeling, this is what's happening to me. I'm afraid, I'm angry. and you know, does the person listen? Do you have any hope that you can have a conversation with the person? If not, if you don't feel hope that somehow the two of you can't have a productive conversation around your conflict, then sometimes you need to get help. You know, and so marital counseling is often recommended. Get a third party in the room who could kind of help create a little bit more safety and for the stability for the conversation. So that was my attempt to try to divide up the pie and to say, you know, all these different aspects of the spiritual pie need to be addressed and looked at, and you know, it can get there's more aspects too, but and then you bring mindfulness to it, and you bring your attention and care and focus, and you try to have some non-reactive attention to what's going on to these different areas, so you can learn from them. And then, you know, in terms of your practice, you know, I don't know how important Buddhist practice or mindfulness practice is for you, but as piece of the pie would be, do you see this as, what do you see as the opportunity in addressing this for your own practice? Is this an opportunity for you, or is it just you know, an unrelenting drag, you know, that you wish you didn't have? So that's what occurs to me. Do you want to ask more now, or further, or deeper, or I don't know what, in one piece of the pie?
So I think the piece of the pie that's most current for me now is how to be compassionate. I feel like I understand a large part of what's going on with him, and I find myself responding in a way that is angry or frustrated that I have to deal with it instead of, and it's a large historical wound that's two generations old that he had, you know, he may have chosen it, but we're dealing with it, and, you know, because it comes up in our relationship.
Yeah.
And can I bring compassion to that instead of frustration?
Great. That's a beautiful thing to do. To do that, beautiful. And when I hear it, I think it's beautiful, I always completely support that. And when I'm listening to someone like you talking about this, what I hear is a separation. I say, he has the problem. Two generations of a problem. And, you know, I'm angry at him for his problem, and I'll try to have a compassion for his problem. And yes, compassion is useful. Maybe that's a growing edge for you to have that. I don't want to deny that. But I hear the separation and wonder what's being left out. And my bias would be to say that, you know, it's not him, just him. Once you marry someone or in that kind of close contact with someone, committed relationship, you're a system. And you're in the system together. You chose this. You know, and you, something about you as well got involved here. You know, the fact that you're with someone who has two generations of family problems, you know, it's not an accident. I think it's useful not to see it as an accident. So what is it about you? You know, and so when you said, I need to have compassion for him, the first thought that would pop up in my mind, whether it's useful or not, I don't know, but it popped up. You can see how I tend to think, you know, what about compassion for yourself? And not just, you know, in the abstract, but what is it in you that needs compassion? So that's what hopefully that gives you something useful to think about or explore. And if it's not useful, leave it here. Yes?
And my question is that
can you wait for the mic, please, if you can maybe...
Yeah.
Any reason if you don't want to mingle with some people that you used to mingle with, either friends or family or any other person, because you were mingling with them with less awareness at the time. Now, or maybe you didn't recognize some issues and then some event came up that now you don't want to mingle that much with them anymore. Does it mean that if you don't mingle with them, you don't want to mingle with them anymore, that means you are not in the right spiritual path to improve yourself? That's why you do, or you have a choice. While you are improving on a spiritual path, you are more aware, and it's your choice not to mingle with this and mingle with the other person. I don't know if I said it correctly.
Yeah, I think I understand you. So the question is there a choice? What kind of choice do you have? And do you have a choice to pick and choose about when you're going to be together with some people? And some people who you were connected to in the past, even family people, is it appropriate sometimes to make a decision not to be connected to them anymore? And And so, you know, I mean, it's a generic question, and the generic answer is yes, it is appropriate sometimes to choose. But I say generic, we're generic because I don't have enough of the details. And there's so many different circumstances we find ourselves in. If someone said, you know, if I went to someone and said, you know, there's someone in my family I don't want to have anything to do with for a while. I think I need like a 6 months or a year break to, you know, really kind of get, find myself, I don't know what. And because it's just so difficult, And then you might say, oh, poor Gil, yes, probably, you know, he probably should do that. Until you hear it's my two kids. I don't have a choice with my kids. You know, I can't, you know, with my kids, I have to, you know, I'm committed. I have to, you know, it would be very damaging for them if I took off for 6 months. But, you know, I have distant cousins that I hardly ever talk to or don't even talk to. And, you know, if it doesn't, it's not the case at all, but if one of them was a really difficult relationship for me, the person was always angry and I was always in conflict, and every time I went there, just like there was this anger going on. And I'm worn down, and every time I go into that situation, I get more worn down. So I think I need to take a break from this person until I have some more inner strength and stability myself. And I'm not obligated to, you know, spend time with my cousin. So there, pull back might be useful. And then there might be friends like me as well, that sometimes is not. And one of the criteria, I think, is it useful, is it helpful to be involved in this person, or is it unhelpful, is it damaging? And then you find your way, and hopefully in the background of any kind of decision like this, a lot of care and compassion for everybody concerned. I've known people who've made these decisions completely in a selfish way, just for their own sake and their own, you know, and without any care for the other person. And then there's people who never think about themselves and only care for the other person. That's damaging too, but it's good to kind of consider everyone in the picture, what's useful for them and how to do it wisely. And some people, it might be the wisest thing to say, to tell them directly, say, you know, this is not working for me for the time being. It's not working for me. I'm having trouble. I have my own issues. I have my generational issues. And so I need to take a break from certain kinds of relationships, and don't take it personally. So maybe that discussion can happen. If it's a good friend, maybe they're willing to do that. So there's so many different interpersonal dynamics that come into play. And part of the role of mindfulness practice and mindfulness meditation would be to help us have a few things. One is to get settled, so that we're not making these decisions or exploring it in an agitated mind. So to really, really let us get settled and calm and relaxed, so we can hopefully see more clearly. And the other is to help us be mindful of what our intentions are, what our impulses are, what the feelings are that inform, and beliefs and values that inform how we're going to make that decision. And a lot of, it's amazing how many of us can, you know, spend days, weeks, lifetimes kind of so caught up in our concerns, we don't really see what's underlying, what drives us. So mindfulness can help us settle down enough and see the underlying issues involved so that we can make wiser decisions. Does that make some sense? Okay. That's it. We can ask later, but we got to, in order to have time here, we have to stop.